Over a decade ago, Christine Altwies became alarmed at the number of babies trafficked from the Republic of the Marshall Islands. The international adoption specialist says many young mothers were giving up their children without fully understanding the legalities of what they were doing or their future ramifications. With the number of Marshallese adoptions on the rise, she's again concerned. Christine Altwies is the executive director of the local nonprofit Hawaii International Child, and she's with us today. Hi there. Welcome back.
Aloha. Hi.
When did you first begin to see that Marshallese adoptions were happening in Hawaii when, you know, we were talking now, what, 10, 15 years ago? What was the tell?
Back in the day, I was asked by a local attorney who was doing vast numbers of these adoptions to counsel the women before they would sign away their rights. And in these counseling sessions, we quickly realized that the women had little or no grasp of English. So we brought in translators, and then we realized that they didn't have grasps of the basic concepts of adoption, that in the Marshallese culture, this concept doesn't exist. People share their children. Very often, ohana or hanai type situations arise, and it's normal, and the children are shared, and they come back later maybe into the family. So we quickly realized that these women weren't really clear on the long-term permanent ramifications of signing away their children to folks who would often move to the mainland or even from the mainland. And so we divorced ourselves from that situation. And then it has popped up again recently. That previous situation was aided by some local folks getting together and meeting with the courts and looking at the laws and how we could work to prevent further abuse. But now it's started happening again in a slightly different form.
In this interim period of 10, 15 years in the intervening time, has there been enough information out there with Marshallese women who might find themselves in a position to want to give up their children? Has there been enough of an education effort so that perhaps younger women thinking that this would be a situation that might be good for them but not really understanding the cultural and the legal implications so that those women might be spared?
Without sounding too cynical, I'd have to say that whenever you have marginalized or disadvantaged or challenged populations, they never get the education that they should be getting from, you know, the folks who have access to resources or support. It's just hard to get the word out to the people who really need it, whether you're talking about homelessness or drug addiction or, you know, or people who are in the position to maybe give children for adoption.
But so, specifically with, you know, with these women, the fact that you, you know, raised the red flag quite a while ago. So in your opinion, nothing happened in the interim to make sure that somehow even, you know, person to person or family to family, as people would talk and you know, maybe engage in what would be the version of a coconut wireless to understand that this is a very different situation than what might be culturally appropriate in the Marshall Islands?
I think things happened. I think things changed. But I think, you know, just like the homeless population story right before ours here, you know, things move around. And so maybe it's a different group, or maybe the people helping them with the adoptions have slightly altered their tactics. You know, there are different types of adoptions we're talking about here. Some are where pregnant Marshallese women are brought over to the U.S., thereby rendering it a domestic adoption as opposed to an inter-country adoption, which changes the required laws around it. Sometimes the women are brought over from Arkansas, where a large population of Marshallese live, being brought over by facilitators to either give birth here or being brought over with their infant children to place those children for adoption. Sometimes people are targeting the homeless population here, which the Marshallese homeless population, where you have a lot of young women or unmarried women or women in need who are easy targets for facilitators who are looking to place children. So there's not just one group of vulnerable Marshallese women. There are many groups and there are many players, and the game has changed in the last 15 years.
But to hear you tell the story now, it seemed as if some of the unscrupulous folks who were operating then may have changed, but the tactics or the desired outcome for that has not. Do you know who is targeting these women and bringing them over?
I have some idea, and I think the people in charge are looking more closely at it. You know, but at the end of the day, we can't always point to a legal breach. Sometimes these adoptions are happening within the legal framework, and unfortunately, there are a lot of loopholes in adoption, and there is a way to do these adoptions legally. The question is whether or not the ethical piece is in place.
For some people who say, I just want a baby, and then they are so driven to want to adopt, and sometimes will close their minds or eyes to how that may be happening, or you know, simply choosing not to see. How have you perhaps been working with that group of people to make them understand so that maybe they might be asking some more questions of those who might help them find a child?
Yeah, that's a great question, because it is a very complicated concept here that we're talking about. We don't want to be paternalistic and authoritarian for these birth mothers and tell them what they should or shouldn't do. And we don't want to presume to tell someone who wants a child that they can't have a child who's legally available. As a mother who has two adopted children myself, what I would say is that it's really important to think about the long-term mental health of your child, and that child that you raise as your own is still connected to the birth family out there at large, whether they're in that child's life or not. So as an adoptive mother, you would never want to have a child to love and to care for who was somehow in your home and in your heart through deleterious means. You know, you would want to make sure that that child you're loving and raising is fully yours to the extent possible without complications or ethical, you know, issues attached. So you just have to think clearly and consult the experts. There are agencies such as ours, and there are good attorneys out there who have good reputations, who have happy client bases, who can talk favorably about them. I would say you want to avoid unlicensed practitioners, facilitators, you know.
That's the due diligence part that you're talking about. Also, not just from a legal standpoint, but certainly from an ethical and a moral standpoint. For the loopholes that you see, what would it take to be able to close those, or at least bring them a little closer together, so that maybe this wouldn't be happening as much?
That's a really tough question. I think ultimately it falls to the courts, because each case is heard individually, and the judges do have the right to question and query and ask for more evidence if they are concerned, if they feel there are red flags there. So I guess it does ultimately come down to the courts.
What becomes a red flag? What might lead a judge to say, wait a minute?
If you have the same woman placing a child placing multiple children in short succession with maybe unclear details about how and why and, you know, she finds herself in the situation, lack of clarity about the birth father or his whereabouts. I know recently there was a woman who was coming to one of the hospitals with, you know, over a dozen women over the course of a few months who she claimed each was a relative, and they all had the same address that they were giving on their paperwork. None of them spoke English. You know, there are red flags that I think any person who knows adoption well would be easily aware of.
I want to thank you very much for talking about this again. I know this means a great deal to you, too, as a mother with two adopted children.
Thank you, Bethann.
Thanks very much. Christine Altwies is the executive director of Hawaii International Child. It's a local nonprofit that specializes in placing international children with families seeking to adopt.